Let's introduce you to a man who has been a guide working on the railroad.
I've been working on the railroad all the livelong day. I've been working on the railroad just to pass the time away.
Tom Pavick-Ryans has done 2,000 trips as steward on the West Coast Wilderness Railway, offering his expert commentary to visitors from around the world. And he's moving on to new adventures, so we thought it would be lovely to catch up with him on his way out the door. Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Good morning.
How does it feel after 11 years of being part of this iconic thing to kind of step away?
Really weird. It's been an absolutely massive part of my life and given me so much, and I've tried to give as much as I can to it, and to start to kind of move away from that, it feels like it, leaving anything behind. It's been very sad, but trying to look forward to the next exciting chapter of our adventure.
Now, you feel like, you know, you look younger than me, considerably younger than me, and you seem to be the wrong generation to be someone who grew up at school thinking, I'm going to be a train conductor one day. Where did that fit in your career aspirations as a kid?
I mean, I was obsessed with Thomas the Tank when I was young, I appreciate you not playing the Thomas the Tank theme tune this morning. That's the usual joke of Thomas working on a railway. Look, it never really crossed my mind. It was more going through school and falling in love with like drama and things like that, and then having the ability to travel. Fell in love with tourism more than the railway itself. And then I came home and I did the ecotourism adventure guiding course at Drysdale and the amazing guys there. And it was from that I got the job on the railway, and there for 11 years.
And the joy it is, it's all that wonder of explaining stuff to people and having that knowledge and meeting people, but no sleeping rough.
No, that's it. The last year we did a camp out there one or two nights, and it was always that thing of, no, I don't want to do this permanently. Like you talk about the hardships they went through, but we're in a nice warm carriage and you got the heaters, and then you come home to a hot meal. It was really good.
So is there a view on that trip along that railway line that you could just never get sick of?
The King River Gorge, I think, for me, even seeing it 11 years later, it still blew me away and I still loved it. And the different seasons, different weather, it always changed, and you couldn't help but just look at it and marvel at the beauty of it and how spectacular it is. And then trying to think that people forged a railway through there is pretty incredible.
All right, give us a little 1 minute of your spiel on the King River Gorge. What would you be saying as the train comes along there?
I guess it's at that point you'd be sort of talking about how their initial plan was to follow the bank of the King River, then the bank of the Queen River all the way along. But they got to that point and realised it wasn't possible, that the gorge was just way too steep, way too hard. With the flooding of the river, they could flood twice the height of the carriage in under an hour. There was just no way they'd be able to put a railway right next to it. So they'd have to go up and over the mountain instead, which is why they had to use the rack and pinion system, which had never been seen in Australia before. It had never been tested. It was a complete and utter gamble for here. But they did it. And so that was one of the remarkable things about the railway. And that's why they had to do that, because they couldn't go around it. I had to go over.
How long did it take you to learn enough to be able to confidently talk for two or three hours along a railway journey?
Oh, look, I mean, the commentary evolved so much. If you were to listen to one of the first ones I did compared to the last one, it
here's some trees.
There's
some water there.
That's kind of how it sort of started when you're sort of first going, like, oh, there's a thing. But you learn stories, you do more research, and it slowly evolved more and more. But I think, and for guides going, that first season, you're kind of still learning, you're still looking at scripts and things. And then after that, you get more confident and you kind of take it from there, really. And you're always adapting and changing things. You learn different things, or you just change it up for yourself more than anything to keep yourself interested.
Was it a changing view as well? Like would the river be flooding sometimes as you'd be going past, or things like that?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The King River, so now being hydro-controlled mainly, it was more whether they were generating power. But even still, there were days where it was really high, some days it was really low, and it'd always be amazing. You go, oh, that's the lowest I've ever seen it for ages, or different conditions. Yeah, even 11 years later, it was still awesome to go out there and see the different things.
You're listening to ABC Radio Home. Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania. I'm Joel Reinberger. Tom Pavick-Ryans is here having a chat with us. He's just leaving the West Coast Wilderness Railway, where he's been a steward and a guide for the last 11 years. Did you ever get any gold at the panning station?
A few times, yeah. I would normally then kind of try and slip it into one of the kids' pans. So I never kept it for myself.
Did you successfully manage that?
Yeah, sometimes you sort of, look over there and quickly slip it in. Or it's like, oh, I'll get a bit of dirt for you and kind of slip it in. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't, depending on how astute they were.
Okay, is there a certain age, once they're like 10, they know that you're just tricking them?
Oh, no, I think even that. The adults is like, oh wow, that's amazing. So.
What was the most common question you got along the way?
I think one of the main ones is like wanting to know how the engine worked or things like that, or where we were going next and everything like that. Who, like the people that built it. So there were a few questions you would kind of get on repeat.
What's the weirdest question you ever got?
The weirdest question I ever got was, are we going to Sarah Island? Which, if anyone knows the geography of it, there's, and I don't know what kind of steampunk technology they would have required for us to go.
Yes,
on.
We hop onto a Zeppelin at the end of the line.
Yeah, that's it. So that was one of the weirder ones and one of the funnier ones. But yeah.
Now, what did overseas visitors particularly kind of want to get out of Tasmania? What did you learn about our overseas visitors dealing with them?
On the West Coast, I think they really wanted that rugged sort of experience and feeling that West Coast. Quite a lot of them were there for the trains, and a lot of the train enthusiasts coming for that specifically. But a lot of others were just looking for that kind of rugged and what West Coast rainforest that we have out there.
Yeah, yeah. So the train enthusiasts, would you be able to spot one of those from a mile away?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's as soon as the little engine started backing up, they would run to the front there, and it was everyone from five-year-olds to grandparents were there with that big, goofy smile on their face, like, yeah, okay, yeah.
How much technical knowledge did you end up having to have about how a steam engine works and when this one was made and, what was the capacity of its boiler?
Oh yeah, you pick up quite a bit. It's always great, particularly talking to the drivers. They are so amazingly knowledgeable.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, if there was a question you didn't know, you would refer them on, or you'd go and ask, and they always had amazing answers. So you did definitely pick up quite a bit as you went along.
So you are moving to Hobart. What are you going to miss about living on the West Coast?
Oh, so much, honestly. I just love the community, the people. It just had an amazing feel about it. And obviously the ruggedness, but yeah, that community feel, particularly of Strawn and Queenstown in particular, I just loved the feel of it. So yeah, I'll definitely miss that.
So what are you doing next? What's bringing you, out of your little West Coast hamlet?
Yeah,
here?
So it's for my wife's business. So she's a marriage celebrant, which is getting busier and busier. And now with our little two-year-old, it's just getting unsustainable to travel back and forth every weekend. So, unfortunately, we had to make the difficult decision of packing up and moving south to help grow that business and make that bigger and better.
Okay. Well, do you have a job as part of her business, or are you just, child minding so that she can do the business?
A bit of both. I am a child wrangler to an extent. I'll also be, the plan is for me to join the business as another celebrant and do some back-end stuff as well. But I will be kind of going back to the West Coast a little bit. So I guess a big caveat to this whole interview, I will be doing my John Farnham farewell tour over the next few months. So if anyone is traveling on the West Coast, you might see me there, or someone with my amazing likeness might be there. You never know.
Your mysterious twin.
Exactly.
We look forward to meeting him on the railway too.
Tim and Tom.
Tom, great to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Tom Pavick-Ryans there on ABC Radio Hobart and ABC Northern Tasmania, who is kind of leaving the West Coast Railway behind.